the second chapter, 2 Timothy. Let's start with the 19th verse. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from all iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. Aren't you glad for the word? How many are glad for the word? Let's give the Lord a praise offering for the word right now. Oh, thank you for the word. Thank you for the word. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, how we love you, Lord. We worship you, for the word of God means so much to us. Praise God. Praise God. You know, we often hear in the day in which we live the subject of mission impossible. Mission impossible. All over the TV you hear it advertised, and in the paper, turn and watch Mission Impossible. Well, I'd like to speak to the young folks just heart to heart tonight on the subject of Mission Possible.
Right.
Not impossible, but Mission Possible. And I want to say to every young person that any time that you think for one moment in your mind that Christianity is a corral, you're mistaken and you're being deceived. Because Christianity is a release, an experience, and it's green pastures to live in. Oh, I envy the young folks that are here tonight. I really do. I would like to be 16 again. Now don't misunderstand me. I don't want to be single when my pockets are jingle. But I would like the opportunity that you have with the communication of the world that you have today to live again.
Amen.
For the glory of God.
Right.
Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. How wonderful it would be. You know, sometimes you get the idea, well, if I become a Christian, if I make a commitment, it's going to fence me in. That's not true. It's going to turn you loose. It's going to turn you loose. We're having a Memorial Day picnic, and in the afternoon, you know, we always had a memorial service for the fellas, and all the children went out into the hills, and they picked a flower, and they brought it, and they put it at the cross, and we remembered all the servicemen, and we sang choruses, and I preached a little memorial message, and I couldn't think of a chorus, and I said to all the young folks who were right around and the people standing around, oh, quite a few hundred people, and I said, maybe one of you got a chorus that you'd like for us to sing. One little boy looked up and said, "Preacher, sing that chorus, don't fence me in." But sometimes you have an idea that will fence you in. But every young person that's here has one relative desire, and that is a desire for happiness and fulfillment. Everybody here, everybody, how many want to be happy? Are there any here that don't want to be happy? I thought I'd help you out. I'll just take your money. But there's a desire within the heart of every one of us to be happy. But the sad thing about it, as I look at these young folks here, many of them, some will never find a fullness of happiness. Jesus said in the 15th chapter of the book of John, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be in you, and your joy might be full." Now, I think every young person here and every person that's here, and I'm not only going to preach to the young folks, every person here is going to try to find happiness. And you're going to do everything you can. Some of you are going to wear yourself out and never find happiness because you're not going to find the formula of happiness. Because if you find real happiness and fulfillment in this life, it'll be because you met certain conditions in your life. I sat in my study, and I had my window open about that, just about that high, you know. And I was busy studying and doing some church work, and all of a sudden a beautiful butterfly, a swallowtail, just flew in where that window was open. And I watched it circle around the room, you know, and it came back to that window. And it tried to get out that window. And oh, that's so beautiful and soft and velvety. And I watched that as it flew against the glass. And it beat its wings again and again, trying to get out that window. And it beat and beat and beat and beat and beat. And it left all of its finery all over that glass. All of its richness. And all of that character all over the glass. And finally, in exhaustion, it fell to the windowsill. Of course, when it fell to the windowsill, the window was open. And it flew out to freedom and liberty. And I just looked at that and I said, oh God, that's the picture of so many folks' life. They never find out that the way to liberty and the way to freedom is to humble himself and submit themselves. They fight it till every bit of beauty is out of their life. I watch them kneel at the altar, and they look up and the tears roll down their face, and they say, oh, Brother Smith, if I could have found the Lord 20 years ago, if I could have found the Lord 20 years ago, I would have saved a life. Now I've just saved a soul. Now there are certain things that you have to do if you're going to find happiness. I'd like to name them for you tonight. There's no other way to find happiness. There's no other way to live a successful life. Number one, you have to put a value on your mind. The first thing you have to do is put a value on your mind. Now, your mind's a lot more than a glob of gray matter that holds your ears apart. You have to put a value on your mind. Now, and I'm not talking about studying. I was an outstanding student, outstanding in the hall. That's right. Besides that, I was a popular student, very popular. Because very often, I was in the principal's office. But I'm just telling you the truth. But you have to put a value on your mind. Oh, when you stop to think about this mind that burns millions, millions of brain cells every hour, that furnishes the drive of your life to success or failure. Your mind is like a blow furnace that generates the drive of your life. And you are what you are by what you feed your mind. You cannot be anything else but what you put in your mind. You hear that? Because that mind, what you feed that mind, puts the drive. And you cannot feed your mind what you want to feed your mind. You've got to feed your mind what's good for your mind. Amen? How many want me to preach the truth tonight? Are you getting kind of quiet? You're getting kind of quiet. I'm telling you that you are what you feed your mind. You say, it doesn't affect me. Yes, it does. Alfred Lord Tennyson says, you become a part of all that you meet in life. And what you feed your mind becomes your subconscious drive of your life. So you can't put in your life what you want to. You have to put in your life what you need. I might go and drive my car, my little Mercedes. I might go and drive it into a gas station and say, you know, I'm sick and tired of paying 60 cents for a gallon of gas. California, 60 cents, 62. I'm sick and tired of this. I want you to put water in the gas tank. Don't cost me anything. I don't go down the highway of life very far. You know that. I can't afford to read what I want to read. I must read and feed my mind what scripts are my character. Amen. Because that's what I'm going to be. You know, you are two-thirds subconscious. Some folks are two-thirds unconscious. Especially in church. But you are two-thirds subconscious, and your subconscious is what takes over your life. You remember when you learned to drive a car? How many remember when you learned to drive a car? Well, the folks that taught you remembered. I remember when my mother learned to drive a car. Oh, Lord, help us. I'll never forget as long as I live. My brother and I learned how to pray in the back seat when she drove. It's the truth. I remember she made it around the first block after she got her lessons also. She made it around the first block and we were in the back seat praying. And we came up that long driveway to our home. And as we came up that long driveway to our home, and she came to the garage, instead of stepping on the brake, she stepped on the gas. And we went straight through the garage, out into the patio. Never forget it as long as I live. You know when you learn to drive? You know, you take your key. See, I got a key, I think, here somewhere. One of Kreider's car. But you take that key and you say, now let's see, I have to be careful. I put the key in here. And you now make sure the gear's all right and everything's all right now. And everything's all right. Now let's see. I turn it and step on the gas a little bit, pump the feed just a little bit, and you think about these all these things. And the car's running, you know. And now, all right, you carefully put it in gear, and you look around to see if anybody's coming. And everything's clear, and you carefully turn the wheel, press on the gas, and down the road you go. Right. Now you've learned how to drive. You don't think anything about it. You'll go out of this service tonight. You'll just take your key out, you won't think anything about it, put it in, start the car, and pull right out in front of somebody. You've learned how to drive. That's true. What you feed your mind is what you're going to be. A young evangelist, married with two children, sat before me as the tears rolled down his face, weeping and crying, said, Brother Smith, how did I ever run my ministry? How did I do it? Well, I said, let's run an analysis. You're one of the finest preachers that we have. We begin to run an analysis. What? You're out in the field. What did you read at night? He said, why do you ask that? Because I said, that gave you the drive of your life. He started in reading just regular magazines. And then he switched to different types of magazines. And then it was Playboy. And then that didn't satisfy. So he had to get some little booklets. And the next thing his subconscious was full of the wrong drive in his life. And when the opportunity afforded itself, he didn't have any spirit to raise up a standard against it. And he fell. And you'll fall too if you don't balance your life with the Word of God. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Every day read the Word of God. I used to tell the young folks in my church, and they used to practice it. Every one of them used to take their Bibles to school with them. Every one of them. And they used to read the Word of God. Now, I have some folks here from Grand Junction tonight, and some folks from another church or two where I pastored. But the principal of a high school called me up, and he said, "You got to do something." I said, "What? What's wrong?" He said, "You've got to call your dogs off." I said, "What?" He said, "You've got to call your dogs off." I said, "What do you mean, call your dogs off?" He said, "Listen, they've got a prayer meeting in every turn of the hall during the noon hour up here." He said, "Everywhere you go, they're praying. And if they're not praying, they're preaching. And if they're not preaching, they're having a Bible study. And they're all praying the Bible." He said, "Every church in town is after me." Glory to God. Well, I said, "You take your choice. You can have the Bible or you can have dope." Amen. One or the other. One or the other. You've got to balance your life. And I want to hear everybody listen, say amen to this. Now it's going to be hard on some of you. You've got to read that Bible as much as you watch TV. Getting kind of quiet, but that's about part of you anyhow. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand if you practice it. But do you know America, 85% of America is controlled today by TV. 85% of America. You can't sit up and watch TV late hours at night, my friend, and put all that into your heart and into your mind, and then go to sleep with all that working in your subconscious, and get up sanctified the next morning. And I don't care whether you like it or you don't like it, I'm telling you truth tonight. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You got to read what's going to do good in your mind. It says in the first chapter of Romans, the 28th verse, because they did not like to retain God in their mind, God gave them up to a reprobate mind. You need to read that Word of God till it comes so thrilling to you, hallelujah, and thrilling, that you just throw up your hands and shout about it. This isn't a dull book. It's because you're dull. And if you read this enough, you won't be dull. It'll put a smile on your face. Amen. It'll put a shout in your soul. Glory to God. It'll make you look like you're smiling sunshine. Hallelujah. And it'll make you feel like you could run through a troop and leap over a wall. Put a value on your mind. Because that's what you're going to be. And that goes for older folks, too. When you sit there and you read that newspaper for an hour and a half, and then it comes time for family altar and you find the shortest psalm. I tell that one clear up here. You got 7 million brain cells you use every hour. And you're going to use them in one direction or another. Use them for the glory of God. Put a value on your mind, it'll enlarge the horizon of your life. Oh, glory to God. And then you need to put a value on your body. Amen. Thank God for a good, wholesome, healthy body. It's the only vehicle you're going to have to take you through this life. Amen. Take care of it. Be thankful for it. Glorify God in it. to be real careful. Here, because I'm going to step on somebody's toes. If I'm not careful. Yeah. But it's true. I'll tell you, your health means a whole lot to you. And you'll never know it till you lose it. I was building a church and I'd had 7 building programs in 14 years. God had blessed us beyond measure. And my doctor that I used to pray with used to say to me, he said, Kenny, you got to slow down, boy. You got to slow down, you know. Take a little easy. Oh, I said, I got to get the job done, you know. And then one night I went home. I'd worked late at the church and I went home and my wife was already in bed and she looked at me and says, how do you feel, honey? I said, I feel wonderful. I really feel wonderful, except I got a little strange feeling, you know. And I took off my shirt and threw it over in one corner. In my home, I have a right to throw my clothes down. I married a wife to pick them up. That's right. When I don't go home, I got a right to kick off my shoes if I want to. That's my home. I live in my home. My home is not a show place. My home is the place where I live. If I want to tilt the chair back, I tilt it back. That's my privilege. That's my home. Now, don't be poking your wife and your husband like that. My goodness gracious. And I said, I said, fine, I took that shirt that was dirty and threw it over one corner. And I reached around to get my T-shirt, and I just reached around and got it. And if you'd hit me in the jaw with everything you had, there would have been no difference. I just spun and hit the floor. And they took me to the hospital. 13 days. Wavering. And the doctor stood at the end of the bed. He said, you know what? You got me down to my office and prayed with me. And God answered prayer for my daughter. God answered prayer. And I told you, you ought to get out and get some recreation and it'll change your pace. Now I can't give you any promise of anything. Just straighten your accounts, that's all I can say. Straighten your accounts, that's all I can say. Glorify God in your body. I learned a lesson. I learned it the hard way. I paid the price. Thank God for your body. It's the best vehicle you have. And there's nothing in the world more wonderful than your body. Nothing more wonderful. Isn't it marvelous how we're made? I watched this long, lean, lanky guy right down there sit down to the table today. And he sat down, and every time his elbow bent, his mouth flew open, just as regular as can be, just like that. Wouldn't he be embarrassed if it hadn't? Isn't it marvelous the way we're coordinated? I said, it's marvelous. My God has done a wonderful job in giving us our body. Glorify God in it. Be proud of a strong, healthy, wholesome body. Don't sell it out. It's the only one you have. My, when I think about the body, and I could talk to you about the body over 1,000 miles of capillaries and arteries and in this body, I breathe every day 2,400 gallons of air. Does it feel good? Take a big breath, you feel better. Timmy, you're sitting just like this. You wonder what I'm going to say next. Well, I'll say it. So don't wonder about it. But it's true. My, wonderful. You got 3 ears on each side of your head. Do you know that? Don't feel for it. Yeah. You got 3 ears. You got the outer ear, the inner ear, and the middle ear. An equilibrium chamber. Did you know that you got 2,000 hairs in each ear? That's why young folks can't hear you when you talk. It's true. My children, you know, we have a tremendous family and we have the greatest time and the most wonderful life. But when they were growing up, it was amazing. They could be right in the same room. We could get through eating and everything. And we could say, you know, we need these dishes washed. And not one of them would hear us. But I could be clear in the other room. I could be in the other room. I could be talking to my wife. And they could be way back in their room listening to the radio and studying. I could never understand that. They could have the radio on and study and talk at the same time. It's a miracle, isn't it? But they could be way back there, and I'd say to my wife, honey, you know, I think tomorrow we ought to go up to the cabin to the lake. And all of a sudden, from way in the back room, don't forget, we want to go. Now, how in the world could I hear it way back there? But in the same room, they couldn't hear the dishes need to be done. And so it's 2,000 hairs in each ear. That's what does it. I found it up. Your eyes are wonderful. I said, your eyes are wonderful. They open and close 30,000 times a day. They're made up of 800 different sections with microscopic and telescopic vision. Open and close 30,000 times a day. And some of you young fellows, when the girls go by, yours only close 29,000. Because they stay open longer. There's nothing wrong with that. That's only the only way God made you. But be thankful for a healthy body and promise to glorify God in your body. Don't spell it out for popularity. Your popularity between 16 and 22 isn't nearly as important to you as your eternal character. So I need to pray for a girl. And I wish I could have had every young person in America with me. Every young person. 18 years of age. There she was in that bed with her hands all curled under and her head all to one side like this and her mouth drawn. She went to church. She knew right from wrong. She went on one party. Just one party. And took speed. You see, you're no match for the devil on his territory. I want everybody to hear it. You're no match for the devil on his territory. You pay a price. When I looked at that girl, I wept and cried. The doctor came in. Took me by the shoulder. Said, Pastor, come here, I want to talk to you. I went over there. And he said, you know, that girl will remain in that condition the rest of her life. My mother was a movie star. God saved her. Fell with the Holy Ghost. I used to work in pictures. God saved me. Fell with the Holy Ghost. Marvelous. We worked for God for years. My mother died in the pulpit. He said to my father, who was pastor in the church, he said, Dad, I want to say something this morning. I want to say something. Will you let me say something, church? He said, sure, honey. She turned over here to Timothy to be faithful. She got up and she told the church we need to be faithful because we don't know when we're going to meet the master. And she slumped over the pulpit and went home. She was dead when my dad got to her. Now she's a mighty woman of God and a mighty woman of faith. But I talked to the doctor. And the doctor said to me, Reverend Smith, your mother died because of the sin of her youth in Hollywood. Put a high price, my friend, on your body and you'll get high use out of it. Put a low price and it'll leave you by the side of the road before your mission's accomplished. You reap what you sow. Did you hear it? God will forgive your transgressions, but you reap what you sow.
you can just realize it. You reap what you sow. I went down to the store today. We went down to the store, and there was a reduction in price down there. Right down there, Dunlap. And it's reduced, you know why? Because good, slightly soil, greatly reduced in price. I don't have to say anything more. Thank God for a healthy body. Thank God for a good body. Praise God for health. And glorify God in that body. And put a price on it. So high, you can't sell it out. God bless you. Some girl comes along and says, well, Pastor, you know, there's not very many boys in the church. I'm so sick and tired of hearing that. If God wants you to get married, God's interested in it. Listen, he'll send the right one to you. How many days is that? He will. I had one girl come to me and think, I'm going to be an old man. Hey, you know how old are you now? Yeah, I'm only 21. Boy, I tell you, they get old young these days. 21. But Pastor, I want to get married. Well, I said, did you ever stop to think about praying that God would send your companion? Oh, she said, you can't pray about things like that. Well, I said, I don't know anything more important to pray about. That's right. And it's not prayer. We are prayer. God's son, a wonderful husband. Lord, he serves and full of the Holy Ghost. He served and full of the Holy Ghost in the church and became a marvelous husband to her. You know, the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You don't only put a price on your mind and on your body, but you put a price on your companionship. What fellowship hath light with darkness, and righteousness with unrighteousness, and Satan with God? You don't belong going with the unsaved. And when you go with the unsaved, you tempt God. I was an officer of a student body when I was in school. And, you know, at the senior activities, we drew cards to see who was going to take who. And I got the bell of the school. And everybody said, boy, are you ever lucky, Ken. What a night you're going to have. Then it came to the time for the dance. And I went to her. And I said, I'm not going to stand you up. I'm just going to tell you the truth. You know I'm a Christian. And you know this is the biggest ball of the year. But I'm not going. I'm not going. I can't afford to go. I can't afford, because I've invited Jesus to go everywhere with me. And she looked at me and her eyes filled with tears. And I said, June, I mean it. I can. You have a right to pick anybody you want to. You just go right ahead. But not me. That led that girl to Christ.
Glory to Jesus.
That led her to Jesus. Don't be so anxious
You get away from mother's apron strings, you get tied to the devil's apron string. It says evil communications corrupt good manners. You're not going to win them on their territory. I prayed, oh God, give me a girl that will stick with me when my dreams fail. Because your dreams are going to fail someday. Amen. Your bubble's going to burst someday. And I said, oh God, give me a girl. And I was going with a velvet toy in Redlands University. She was a good Christian, but I didn't love her. You know, I believe in this love bug. Boy, what, my girls, when they fell in love, I'll tell you, they didn't have to tell me. Dottie, when she fell in love, we had winding staircases up in the front room that went up to their bedrooms. She fell up the stairs. Every night she came in, she fell up the stairs. Peggy, who's married to an officer over in Guam, she fell down the stairs every time. I've never seen anything like it. I went to a CA rally. And at that time I was not DCAP. I was the vice president of the district. And I went to a CA rally and I noticed a young gal. I'd taken another gal to the rally. I noticed a young gal, and when it came time,
she was a preacher's daughter. I don't know who cut me off. But...
Somebody cut me off. There, I'm on again. Isn't that nice?
We could cut that out. I'm off again.
Is this it? Am I on or off? I'm on. Let there be a lesson to you. Just watch who holds the cord of your life. Kill you. All right. Listen, I went to that CA rally. I looked down at the preacher's daughter, and when it came time for the altar call, and the preacher said, everybody that's right with the Lord, put up your hand. Everybody that's right with the Lord. And I didn't see your hand. I watched. You got to be a soul winner. I said, you got to be a soul winner. And I went to that girl. I said, listen, Cherry, I noticed you didn't raise your hand. And tears started on her face. I said, I've known your parents. Your mother's a wonderful preacher. And you mean you're not right with the Lord? And her lips started to tremble. I said, come on, let's make it right. And I walked down the aisle with her, and she knelt. She became my wife. And she stuck with me all these years through thick and thin. I mean it. I've gone home many a time and said, honey, let's get down on our knees and pray. We've got down the front room, the glory of God's come down. We've had some sorrow, some very deep sorrow in our life. We've had so many happy days. So much joy. In fact, is I don't know whether I'm going to stay on the field or not. It's cost me so much to phone home all the time. She called me early this morning, early, at 2 o'clock. She said, how you doing, honey? She said, I just wanted you to know that you're married. You didn't let me finish. A grandmother again. And there was a boy. My daughter had a little boy last night. That makes 8 boys in our family and 1 little granddaughter. Boy, I got a football team almost. Gonna make it. And I said, honey, we gotta hang up.
Last month, my phone bill was over $100. She said, well, you're not home. I got to talk to you. Oh, don't aim for Elvis Presley. Some movie star. Aim for somebody that'll stick with you and know how to pray with you. Hold your hands up when you really need them up. One that you can look forward to spending the millennium with. One that you can invest in eternity together with. That's the kind of companion to look for. That's the kind of companion to look for. Beauty's only skin deep. Somebody said, oh, it was love at first sight. You better take a second look. Quite revealing. I mean it, sincerely. Had a girl, we pled and pled with her. Oh, she was a doll. She's a beautiful woman. But beauty can be a great hindrance, my friend, in this life. And all the boys were always trying to date her at school, college, and finally she broke down. She went with this boy. She married him. I was at the hospital. Cancer of the lung. She's laying in the bed, and there's a terminal case, just a young girl. She said, Pastor, please pray. Please pray. If I had my life to live over again, if I just had it to live over again, if I just had another chance. You don't have another chance, friend. Did you hear it? You don't have another chance. You commit to God now or you miss it. She reached over and got her hubby's hand. He was a nice-looking guy, great big-shouldered fella. Knew nothing about God and didn't care about him. All that he cared about was he got the prettiest girl in the country, that's all. He's almost proud that he got away from church. But she grabbed a hold of his hand. I was right there. And she pulled his hand just like this and pulled it down. And she said, honey, 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 I can't stand it. I can't stand it. And she pulled it. She pulled right up with his hand, right over her shoulder. And she turned over the wall like this. And then I heard her say these words. I'll never forget them as long as I live. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, I married a man who don't even know how to talk to you. In a couple of moments, she choked and the blood just came. And she was dead. You better go where somebody knows how to pray with you. It isn't the car, and it isn't the job. You better go where somebody knows how to pray with you. Let's bow our heads in prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed. You want happiness? You can have it. If you listen to the Spirit of God, you put a price on your mind. Put a value on it, friend. Put a value tonight. Put a value on your body. Put a high value on. It'll be a vehicle to heaven for you. Put a value on your companionship. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Well, every head's bowed, every eye's closed. God's here tonight. I married that little girl. I was a lay preacher. I was in business. Then God called me to full-time ministry. I said, honey, what do you think about it? She said, I married you for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, and anything. Honey, if God calls you to preach, I'll be by your side till you preach your last sermon. I'll do everything I can. I'll pray with you. I'll bury your children. We'll raise them together for God. God will help you. But you have to delight yourself in the Lord. You have to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. How many here tonight will every head bowed? I don't want anybody in this building looking around. I don't want any mother. I don't want